WBRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy, hoy. Welcome, one and all. Episode 571 of BRB UK, reporting for duty. Good evening, good day, good afternoon, wherever you are. Welcome to the show. I'm Dan. I'm one of your hosts. Lovely to see you all as we limp towards Christmas and wonder what the heck happened to 2023. We're all about to get our festive stuff on. And by festive stuff on, in the case of Tim, it's his sequined underpants, isn't it, sir?
I don't want to sound too Silence of the Lambs, but I was planning on wearing your face this evening, but I
Excellent.
Couldn't
find
Great. Your face.
I do appreciate the lack of denial of sequined underpants. Good on, good for you, Tim. And Coleman and his tinsel mankini is here. Or a t-shirt in this case.
I've got my Jurassic Park Bingo Dino DNA Mr. DNA nice. T-shirt for reasons that will become clear soon.
Very good. Oh. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Look at you, you tease. You're a tease. You
are spelled T-E-E. Yeah?
Really?
Yeah?
Nah.
Like tpublic.com/stores/BRB.
By my face.
Dan's face. Bleezy's lovely artwork. If you
that
want something
by
Bleezy's Dan's face.
Thanks, Bleezy. Also, it does has my face on it to a degree.
It does, yes. But it also has mine and Coleman's to balance things out a bit.
Yeah, but the main thing is it's got my face on it. My face.
The best thing. So that is our episode 500 or 400, I think.
Yes.
Artwork. Yes. And the best thing about that is I remember when I was editing it, Bleezy contacted me as I had started the editing process and went, "Hey, am I making a cover for you this year?" I went, "Oh, I," because I knew he'd like started a different job or something. Like he was busy doing something. I was like, "Oh, I didn't think to ask you actually, but it's probably going to go out tomorrow if you think you can do it." And I told him the premise and he went, "Oh, Back to the Future. I can do that." And off he went. And that's
nice.
That's what he came
He's
up
a legend.
With. And it's amazing.
We like Bleezy.
Yes. It's like my screensaver on my computer and everything. I love that image.
Mm-hmm. All we need to do, all we had to do was send him a lifetime supply of pigeons and he was a happy
pigeons
man.
Pigeons for Bleezy. So we have a stacked show. And
yeah,
it's our
we
last
do.
Proper show of 2023. So we got to get through it.
We do because
we've got extra,
Christmas is
we've all
coming.
Got games we done played. We've all got news. We've all got
Santa's
questions.
Lurking at the end of my driveway with a
Loads
look
of
eagerness on his face.
Hey, you want a pigeon?
Hey, Gibbo.
You want the Christmas pigeon
for you?
Have you been good, doctor? Can you look at this rash? I am Santa. This is how I talk. Let's get on with the show, Dan. Because
that actually gave me a flashback to Iceland. I don't know why. Iceland. I spied the name of an establishment that made me giggle, and just his voice made me think of this is what it would sound like. The place's name's called Pablo Disco Bar. That's all I'm going to say.
Hello, my name is Pablo Disco Bar.
That's what I think he would sound like. Anyway. Anyway.
Good.
Yeah,
I'm glad
good.
You got
right.
That.
Right. Coleman's making that face, which lets me know I need to start talking about things that are on the
that's
agenda.
That's the I'm thinking of editing face.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So I have been slowly catching up with all of the things I meant to play earlier on in the year. And this one I don't feel so bad about since it only kind of recently came out but was on my list of games I really wanted to check out. And that game, ladies and gents, is Cocoon. The puzzler. The puzzly game called Cocoon. Nothing to do
from the creator of Limbo.
Jeppe Carlton, I do believe.
That's
so he's Carpe the guy Diem. Who did Limbo and Inside. And both of those, I would say, Limbo and Inside, had a very gloomy aesthetic to it, I would say, to them, I would say. Whereas Cocoon is a bit more about wonderful nature and, bright colours, sunshine, wonderful things happening.
Old people going in a swimming pool and feeling younger.
Yep. Yeah, that happens. Yep, Steve that Greenberg. Happens.
The Goot.
The Goot. Mm, sure. But you play, of course, an insect is who you are. You're a little cicada.
Called Steve Gutenberg.
Yes. Actually, it's Jim Bob the Cicada is what his name is. We called him Jim Bob. We don't actually know what his name is, but Jim Bob. He's called Jim Bob the Cicada.
Let's go
with Steve. Why Steve? Why would a cicada be called Steve? That's crazy talk.
Gutenberg.
Gutenberg.
Yeah.
Gutenberg.
Anyway. Yeah.
It's good. Okay.
Steve Goonbug.
Oh.
He's done it.
Tim
done
made
it.
A funny.
He's done it.
It only took 571 shows, but he's finally made show. A funny.
571. It's the episode where the joke happened. We couldn't top.
Yeah.
Now it's time to retire the show. Goodbye,
yep,
everyone. We hope you've enjoyed
Tim
us
did
thus
a funny.
Far.
Yeah.
No more Choose Your Own Adventures. No more E3 specials. Although there's
no more E3 specials for other reasons, mate. In all fairness. So Cocoon is like I said. It's not a long game. It's not a long game, but what there is of it is beautifully crafted, and it doesn't overstay its welcome, is what how I would describe it. So it's a 3D puzzly platformer, and much like, probably more like Inside than Limbo, it does a lot of its, all of its storytelling and all of its kind of explaining the mechanics just through environmental cues, and it does it in such a wonderful way, and it never feels too contrived. All of the knowledge you're picking up feels very natural. It kind of drip feeds you extra layers in the puzzling as you go. The basic mechanic is that you have a board. You're a bug. So what does a bug need? That's right, an interdimensional transuniversal ball is what every bug needs, obviously. And you're essentially traversing into the world that's in that ball and back out again. And you've got kind of a couple of these different balls, each with different kind of mechanics within the level. Each of these balls confers upon you a special power, and you can put balls in balls, Tim. And that's all I'm really going to say, because it'll start spoiling
Ballception.
Stuff. Ballception, exactly. Testiception is
end the
exactly
episode.
What
episode 571. Yeah.
Testiception.
He's done it twice.
Yeah. So we really should just retire the show now.
Gutenberg and Ballception, it's never going to get better than that.
It's never going to get better than that. It kind of really layers a complication on with, like, right, you need to take this ball inside this ball, but then in other times you need to take another, get that ball out and put it in another ball, and then take those two balls into another ball. And there is one bit where it truly is Ballception, Tim. You're in a ball that's inside the same ball. Crazy.
Are you dreaming of balls while being in that ball?
Absolutely. Okay. It's amazing. It is amazing. So, but it's just, I mean, it's one of those games that's really difficult to concisely explain without, you know, I don't want to take away some of the wonder of that discovery that you'll have. And one of the hallmarks, I think, of any really well-realized puzzle game is, and this, I would say, it is a puzzle game. There is some kind of notional combat stuff with some bosses, but even those are really kind of puzzles, to be honest with you. I know when a puzzle game's done it right, when it makes me genuinely feel like I've been a clever little boy by figuring something out.
Player,
you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. It's kind of just
power to the players.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, Coleman. And it really does make you, I think that just shows how well it kind of drip feeds you the mechanics of the game, and then go, all right, now add this level on top of this, and then add this extra mechanic on top of that. It really rewards kind of being curious and experimenting with mechanics of the game. Doesn't kind of beat you around the head if you've messed stuff up, and just feels just like a great way just to just chill out with the game for a bit. I really can't recommend this game enough. It's, especially with it on Game Pass. I think on Game Pass, it's an absolute no-brainer. For its length, I would say from beginning to end, and maybe I only missed like one secret along the way, I think. From beginning to end, it was only about five and a half hours. But it was just a really well-crafted experience. In the same way a bit like Journey was. You know, probably
it
hasn't got... Yes.
Spoil it. Spoil it for us.
What's the ending?
And the secrets.
Can you just then spoil all of the secrets?
Can you just describe all of the game for me?
Yeah, sure. You're a bug called Steve, and you love puzzles and balls. That's it.
I love it.
Yeah, puzzly balls. Steve and his puzzly balls. I mean, it's not that long, and I think that is probably what would make some people balk. I think it's like £20 if you buy it on Steam. But you know, pick it up on Game Pass would be my advice if you can do that. Even like a month of Game Pass is only going to cost you what, even though the price has gone up, still probably only about £12, and still well worth it. Even if that's all you did with that month of Game Pass, really, really, it's just a great experience. And I know that sounds a really eye rolling way to describe a game, but it truly is. I really like it. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It's beautifully crafted. The puzzles are excellently designed, and it's just a great little game. Cocoon, check it out. That's all I have to say.
Cool. Tim, you want to jump into yours?
Yeah, I can do quite quickly because I only played for less than an hour, I'd say, overall, but I had a quick go.
Which means you're only going to take 3 hours to talk about it. Marvellous.
but I had a quick
take us through the download process, Tim, first of all. What menus did you go in for the download?
Get faster, Dan. You know this?
Never! Anyway, right.
So
never!
I had a quick go at the finals. Anyone doesn't know, this was actually talked about at the Game Awards, which we'll be talking about later in the show. But it came out.
Oh, that advertorial
so they were
thing.
Advertising yeah, it out on the show because, yeah, it got released on the same day. And it is a free-to-play game. It's a bit, like, art direction-wise, it looks a bit like kind of Mirror's Edge meets Brink, but it's a bit more gameplay wise it's a bit more kind of a mixture between, which was the Battlefield that had a lot of destruction, was it Bad Company, where you could really
all of
into
them
buildings
after Bad
stuff?
Company.
Okay, well, that sort of Battlefield level of environmental destruction where you can literally blow holes in buildings and things, and then a kind of all mixed in and with a kind of not quite Running Man, but kind of future sport, competitive sport thing, and all kind of framed in that kind of narrative sense, basically.
Right.
And it's there's various different modes that you can play. Most of them revolve around teams of three players. So I'm thinking that the three of us should team up for this.
Right.
And
it does
see
look
how bad we can be.
I was going to say, it does look awfully sweaty and almost designed just to make me angry, which all PvP shooty games do these days. It's just like, I am too old for this crap.
And I'm can't be bothered for this as well.
I have a question.
Yes?
Is this free to play?
It is free to play.
That's why Tim said it was free to play.
Oh, that's good then. I think it looks bobbins.
I'm more willing
to play it.
Visually, it looks pretty good when you're in-game, especially the environmental destruction side of things. There is a few minor hiccups I had in the first couple of games that I played in terms
of Gaviscon,
like,
flat. Clear
like
right
sort
off.
Of, right, frame drops and just a few other kind of like minor hitches. Like, there's also these kind of zip lines and stuff that you attach yourself to, and the animations for that seem a bit wonky, but yeah, like generally the actual gameplay and stuff, like, it looks quite good. It plays all right. And most of the modes involve it's like sort of gaining cash by killing people, or just gaining cash by like literally picking up a box of cash in the environment and then taking the cash.
Giving cash by getting cash. Gotcha.
To different points throughout the environment to actually cash out as well. You actually need to kind of there's two different modes in the game. One revolves around like the teams just getting to different points, getting cash from those points and cashing out at different other points in the environment. The other one involves,
it's like going to an ATM in Slough,
and you get coins for killing different people, and the more people you kill, the bigger bunch of coins that you get and the bigger trail of stuff. So it kind of attracts more people to where you are. And it's a kind of risk reward of you then need to cash out to then get those things. I knew I was on a bit of a hiding for nothing when in my very first game, I was the lead person on my team. And that wasn't because I was good. that's because my team was terrible, not coordinating with coordinating with each other. And like, this is a team that, this is a game that really benefits from team discussion and working together. And when that's not the case and you're playing with randoms, it's a bit more tricky. So that's why I would like to play with people, but yeah.
But good for you, Tim. Good for you.
Yeah.
Life goals, play with people. Lovely.
Well, play with you guys and people I know, but yeah.
So let's say you teams of three? Did you say three people? And how many teams are in a match, or does that vary?
That does seem to vary. I played in one match, and I don't know if it varies from mode to mode, or it can just vary on what's there. And it's got cross-play enabled as default. And so I was mainly playing with PC gamers. There was a few PlayStation gamers involved as well. But the one mode I played had four different teams, including my team, and the other team had three different teams. The other mode had three different teams. And yeah, there's definitely some enjoyment there. The only thing is, I'll say, is like, they don't really give you much of a clue of what, because there's a brief tutorial and a kind of area you can mess around with to test out the weapons to start with. But what they don't tell you is, oh, but by the way, you're going to be limited to this very limited selection when you actually kick off the game. And so I practiced with a load of weapons that I then couldn't use actually when I started the game. But I think that all, it does seem like there's a bit of a grind, and there's a kind of premium battle pass thing that you can buy to alleviate that grind somewhat. But it does seem like there's a bit of a grind to get to the decent weaponry that's going to do the really fun environmental destruction and make a bit of a difference to things. I did mess around with like the grenade launcher and stuff, which is good for that. But that isn't available until later into the game. But you can kind of pick and choose which weapons and which perks you're buying as you go through. Everyone's got like a different perk, and there's three different classes of like weight class that kind of affects your agility as much as else, but none of the weapons are tied to the weight classes. But there's a different skill for each person as well. And the base skill that everyone has to start with is just like a healing ray type thing. But you can also get like gun turrets and other stuff like that you can kind of unlock. And then there's like defibrillators that you can instantly revive people with, and then various different goo grenades.
Grenades.
Yeah, that fire out basically a wall of destructible foam kind of stuff that you can use to kind of block off areas and kind of, fill in the gaps once you've blown up all the walls around you, basically. But yeah, like, it seemed fun. It did seem to have some stuff to it. I don't know if this is one of the games that made, like, Hyenas and other games run away scared or go into hiding, or whether it's just one of many that's on the way. I do think there's some substance to the game. I do think it could be of interest, especially as it's free to play. I think it's worth trying out and having a look at. But as I said, I don't know how deep you'd want to go into the grind of unlocking everything to actually get the full enjoyment out of it.
Probably about an hour's worth.
An hour's worth. Well, I mean, what I've heard about this game, I kind of have heard that there were some challenges with like skill-based matchmaking. They've had to make it a little bit, you know, people were getting their asses handed to them in a pretty major way. It was a bit of a sweat fest. So I think they've kind of tightened up the skill-based matchmaking so that people who are normal play with other normal people rather than people with decent reflexes.
I think part of the problem there is the way that a lot of these games structure themselves, in that you get a very limited pool of equipment to start with. You might have a decent rifle, but generally you won't get like the full bells and whistles of how you want to play the game when you start with, in equipment sense. But then you've also got the disadvantage of getting used to the environments and getting used to how the modes and the game plays in general. And so you've got all the disadvantages right up front, and I think they should almost do it the other way around. They should give you access to more equipment to start with, and then reduce that as you go a little bit, and then open that back out again as you get deeper into the game. But then that doesn't encourage people to spend money on it. So, yeah.
No, and I think the other thing I heard, which, because it's Embark who put the finals together, because this might just be a cheese dream that I had. But I seem to remember that they were in a little bit of hot water because they were using text-to-speech AI instead of voiceover artists.
Yes, I believe there was some criticism over that, I think they came out and said something about it being placeholder or something. I'm not sure exactly how that resolved or got put out.
Like that ninja game we played at EGX.
Yeah, I don't mind it if it is placeholder and it's something that's going to be done, but... Yeah, as you say, like that's something where that's going to be a sticky thing going forward, I think. But yeah, as I said, as a free-to-play game, I think it's worth trying out and having a look at, seeing people explode into coins when you kill them and stuff like that. There's definitely something there, I think, and it could be enjoyable, but yeah.
Well, there we go.
Cool.
There we go. So that's the finals, free-to-play on anything that you can play it on, which I believe is PC, Xbox, PlayStation. All of the,
I believe so.
And were you playing it on your Series S? I'm assuming
PS5,
PlayStation, PS5. Cool,
yeah.
Cool. There we go.
Plus four.
So Coleman.
Atari Jaguar. Yes.
Yes. Wow, that'll be a thing. Hey, that does 3D. It has 64 bits. You know, 64. Count them. Count them.
I thought it was
one.
How many teraflops?
Several.
It was 128 bits. That was like the whole thing. It was double the power of the Nintendo. They just didn't know how to use it.
I'm not sure it was truly 64 bits. I think it was like
I don't really care.
I was about to go into a very nerdy.
Where did you learn to fly?
I think you'll find it was two 32-bit width buses that were working anyway.
Gotcha.
Sorry.
Hey, Avatar. Frontiers of Pandora.
Ooh, blue people.
From Supermassive. Massive Entertainment. I mix the studios up all the time. Who you may know from The Division and The Division 2. So
never
when
heard
they
of.
Announced they were making an Avatar game, I thought, oh, are we getting like a big multiplayer type Avatar version of Division? No. This is essentially...
First-person shooter.
This is essentially the Far Cry Primal game you've always wanted. Now, I will stress, not a fan of Avatar, not a fan of Avatar The Way of the Water. I think they are quite long, quite boring, and regards to the first film, probably a better story done in other films. And the second one's very gimmicky. But this, in the same kind of way where I played the Hogwarts Legacy game at the start of the year and have no interest in Harry Potter whatsoever, I went, kind of like this world and this is actually really interesting. This got me really interested in Avatar. So if you don't know, this is a first-person story-based semi-survival game, kind of like the aforementioned Far Cry series.
Right.
Where you play as a Na'vi who has been taken by the RDA, that is the evil human corporation, where they have tried to take some Na'vi children in the idea of indoctrinating them into the human ways so they will become the perfect soldier against the Na'vi without having to use the Avatar program. So they can infiltrate systems and take them over. So
it's Avatar without avatars, is what you're saying.
Yeah, kind of.
Avatar minus Avatar.
But then, oh no, the events of Avatar happen and you get broken out of the facility some 16 years later, I think it is. Some 16 years. Anyway. So you end up going out into the world of Pandora and having to kind of find your way in the world and learn how to be a Na'vi again because you've been trained as a human for so long. So you don't know how to, even though you kind of have a passing recollection of the songs of your ancestors or your mother or things like that. You've been raised as a human, basically.
Right. You have a random dislike of trousers. That's pretty much all of your Na'vi heritage has given you.
Yes. So it turns out that you're actually from a long-lost tribe or thought-lost tribe called the Sarantu, who, would you believe it, the prophecy has been told that someone from this long-lost tribe will come and become the hero of the Avatar.
Thank God they made a video game about it, Coleman, because that sounds like a perfect video game plot.
It's one of those.
Right, okay.
However... So the story, yep, ties into Avatar in what way, shape or form, and probably get forgotten about as the films go over and they go, this is a canonical game in the story. And every time they say that about any video game, it stops being canonical at some point,
right?
Because the plot has dictated such a thing. But this is actually one of the best video games I've played this year.
What?
It's really, really good. You get dropped into an open world Pandora. You're a Na'vi. You get to run around trees and become more kind of agile and nimble as you get along. You unlock more weapons, and it becomes a lot of fun of trying to unite these different Na'vi tribes together while taking down human like factories and plants and things that have been set up that are polluting the planet, and trying to, so you get these areas that are kind of all, because you do a lot of scavenging, picking plants and hunting animals and things, then you'll find an area that everything's kind of blackened over and all the plants have withered and started dying and you can't harvest anything. So you have to find out what the humans have done to pollute that area and destroy it so the land will return back to normal.
Damn humans.
And then as you progress and the more things you unlock, you get one of those, I forget what those sky creatures are called. You get one of those of your own and get to fly around, which is like my only complaint of that game is I want to play this like I play Cyberpunk 2077. Where in that game, you play everything in first person, but when you're driving, you have the option of doing third person, which I used to do. And then as the game progressed, I was like, oh, actually, I'm actually quite good in first person behind the wheel. Now I can play this game as immersively as possible. When you're playing, when you're doing
so you're there, slathering blue paint on yourself. You've already, that's what you've done.
Yeah, that's what I do. That's
excellent.
What I do.
Good stuff. Sit there with your loincloth.
But yeah, when you're doing your third person, the flight stuff, that's all in third person. But the game is really, really good. I remember there was that whole, I forget the name of it, but there was some kind of syndrome, a disorder associated with the film when it first came out, of people seeing Pandora and just could not comprehend that this was not a real place and want to be there. And it's a thing that people have associated with Lord of the Rings. And
it's a syndrome called being a moron.
I mean, there's I don't think as a doctor you're meant to discredit the mentally unwell, Dan.
No, moron is a perfectly acceptable. There are other words which I will not use. Moron just means you're not very clever. You're profoundly you're just a moron.
I mean, that's one medical take to take away. Mental illness is
I can dismiss.
No, dude,
Dan.
It's not a mental illness. Oh Jesus, stop trying to put
Dan
words in my
that.
Mouth.
With that chart from Forrest Gump, it's going, your son is here.
I'm not saying
I believe
anything.
Dan said he wanted to round up all the handicap and throw them in the Thames.
Thanks, mate.
Dr. Dan. That's all right.
Lovely.
Buddy. Anytime.
Cheers.
But yeah,
handicapped people can operate avatars too. Like they said, they did that in the first film. So, you know.
Yeah, they did that. Jake Sully has no legs.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yep.
And he's like the hero.
Not angry,
so,
just
yes,
Jake Sully.
If your big takeaway from the movies has been, wow, Pandora looks amazing, I wish I could go there, and you can't afford to go to Disneyland and go to that big one that they made there, this is probably your
just
best bet.
Just go to a wood! That's all you need to do. Go to
Wait, have you not...
It's not the
mate,
same, Dan. Have you seen the movie?
Big, colourful plants and stuff. It looks amazing.
It looks all right. I mean, you're never going to be out. Even if you look, I've been to the Blue Mountains in Australia, and even that is not as awesome as fantastical as Avatar. So you may as well just cut your losses, go down Langley Park near me. It's a perfectly serviceable, nice little wood. Check out the roundabout. You can have a nice cup of coffee and a jacket potato with some lovely, lovely cheesy beans on it. Jobs are good, and you don't need to go to
Avatar 3, Dan.
Yep, that's
what
it is.
Avatar 3.
It's all you need
anyway,
to do.
It's got an okay story, but the mechanics are brilliant. The world is brilliant. It's a really, really fun game to play, and apparently you can play the entire thing in co-op, which I've not been able to do because a bunch of people went, either I don't play Ubisoft games because Ubisoft evil company and stuff, or they go, I don't want to play this game because Avatar game and I don't like Avatar. Or they go, I heard this game's rubbish. I'm not playing it.
Oh.
I was like, this is actually one of my favorite games to come out this year.
I heard the environment's really good and like really detailed right. and looks like a really good recreation of the movie environment and is actually quite fun to traverse as well. Like beyond the flight stuff, was there stuff where you're like imbuing like different stuff from the environment to speed you through it and stuff as well, or something like that? That I heard someone.
Yeah,
saying?
There's like plants that will work as like little makeshift trampolines and stuff, and if there's oh. That's it. So I assume you've both seen the first film.
Yes.
And there's like that big panther cat thing that he's running from at the start of the film.
Right, yeah. Yep.
That was like one of the weirdest parts because I was like, oh, I know how this game works now. And then at some point I dropped down into a forest and then all of a sudden like your senses stop working and there's something going on. Like, what the hell? And then that thing just jumps out of nowhere and kills you in one go. Like,
oh.
All right. And then respawn. I reckon I can take it. No, no, no. Just run away. Run away, Sir Robin. Bravely ran away. Just running along the treetops and getting away from him. That's the best way I could do it. That thing's scary. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of, once you got used to your surroundings and environments and stuff and how to traverse correctly, then a lot of that's really fun. I like also jumping off mountains and calling your weird pterodactyl friend to carry you around. That's good.
Pterodactyl is his name.
Yeah, Terry. Terry Dactyl.
Yep. So I've heard two dissenting things about this, Carl, when I'll be honest with you. One is that it is, as you said, a beautiful world, well put together, very immersive from that point of view.
Oh, gosh.
But kind of the actual open world mechanics, there's nothing really brand new there. It's kind of, you know, it could be drop in many of the Far Cry tropes. I mean, what does it do anything that original aside from, hey, look, we're all blue and humans, they're terrible no, I humans.
I think the most you're going to get from this is the environment, because okay. I played sort of passing amounts of Far Cry and it was only the last game that I really got into, and when everyone went, oh, we're so bored of Far Cry games, I was like, what are you talking about? This is amazing. Giancarlo Esposito, guys. Danny Trejo, this is great. And so it may be a case, if you've played all these Far Cry games, every single iteration, you'll get into this and go, yeah, I don't see much in this.
Fair enough.
No, I loved it. I think.
And you played it on PS5,
PlayStation 5,
PS5. Yes. Because and were there any technical problems? Because I've heard the PC version has been plagued by some technical issues. Was it pretty smooth sailing for you, or?
It's incredibly smooth when you put it on performance mode. Gotcha. There was an issue that seems to have been patched out where whenever I restarted the game, so if instead of putting it in rest mode, like completely turned off the PlayStation and went back into the game, it would put itself back into visual mode.
Okay.
So then you had to just go into the menu and switch it back over to performance. But that seems to be fixed now.
Fair enough. Cool.
What's the good weaponry games. Like? Is it kind of like Navi-based weaponry, or do you like pick up guns and use them as well? Okay,
it's both. You got your you got your different types of bows. You got spears. You got basically what equates to a lacrosse racket that you use to throw grenades at people. Using bows is hilarious.
The Boris Johnson expansion for it.
Yes, the bows are funny.
Chapped.
When you're playing as
that kind of tracks, though, because lacrosse was invented by American Indians, so that kind of works.
Yeah, this is actually that is a surprisingly good point, Tim, to counterpoint my pithy Choco chaps. Lacrosse is all good and stuff, isn't it? Yeah, very good.
But yeah, and then there's machine guns, and you got that thing that you get in a lot
not,
of shooters.
Not, not
here's
invented,
a rocket launcher,
a
but you can't carry it. You got to sort of pick it up, one, use it, and then put it down. Or once you've run out of ammo, throw it away and go back to your regular weapons. But yeah, okay. Really good game. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, there we are. A strong end to the year for the two of us then, Coleman.
Mate, today, the surprise, well, I don't think it was a surprise. I think I just wasn't paying attention. House Flipper 2 just came out.
Yeah, it did. I know. I'm not gonna lie. When you start talking about it, I chat House Flipper out, and I low key lost a not insubstantial proportion of my life to that game.
Yeah. That was I think that was the big problem, because when I went to go try that game at EGX, it went, thanks for trying the game. Here's the first game on Steam. I went, oh, thanks. I'll just stick that on my Steam Deck. I just got this at the same time as this event, so that was fun. And this one is Steam Deck verified, so I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, I got the email and it went, get it now and you'll get a discount. I was like, ooh, discount? What's the discount? £2.50.
Oh.
Well, no, it's like £2.25.
Yeah.
I can wait. I can wait.
Yeah. Too many games. I mean, I did just drop money on Baldur's Gate finally because I've got a week off coming up.
Really want to play Baldur's Gate?
I think you're going to need more than a week to play that from what I hear. I dipped
my toes into the waters about it, and already I've kind of been messaging Kevin on Discord going, help, it's so confusing. Help.
Well, basically, like, we're going to talk about in January.
And Kev was like, have you by any chance read the 5th edition of the Player's Handbook for Dungeons & Dragons? I was like, of course I have not read that back to back, Kevin. Someone who should read that.
When people are like, I'm 50 hours into Act 1, and I'm like,
I've already got distracted. But anyway, that's for another show, another time. Another time. Don't think January. I'm going to finish it in time to talk about in
2024.
Yeah. So there we go. So there was. What else happened this week, Carl? Because I've got a feeling some stuff happened.
Amazing game event where they showed off a bunch of trailers for new games and also gave out an award or two.
Oh, that's nice. Pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, so the... Yeah. I believe Baldur's Gate 3 were the guys that cleaned up the most at the Game Awards this year. I think they won both the Doritos Award, the Mountain Dew Award, and the Gillette's Award, so good for them.
Unless I was having a mild breakdown. The dude, one of their guys did turn up wearing a suit of armor, right?
I don't know. I don't watch the Game Awards.
Yep. Because if they hadn't won anything and he turned up wearing that, people are just going to go, you absolute blonker. You know, that is a little bit of chutzpah about it, but you know.
I was watching Stephanie Sterling's yearly complaint about the Game Awards.
Excellent.
And
good.
Every year, I think the same thing. It's like, well, these Game Awards, they don't mean anything, and they're probably corrupt, and they never bring out the issues with the gaming industry, and they're just glorified adverts wrapped with trailers and all this kind of like. Yeah, that's the point. No one actually watches the Game Awards; they just want the trailers.
Although
that's all I do. I wait till the next day, and then I watch a montage of all the trailers that they did.
The one thing, however, that I think Coleman, we can learn from, and by we I mean me and you, not Tim. Because this is something we can employ to help you not go on forever. When you talk about things,
please wrap it up.
Please wrap it up. That's what I think we're going to have from the Game Awards 2023. We're going to have a Tim,
right.
Please
you
wrap
like
it up
some
slide.
Oscar music.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, please music. Wrap up. Or we just start ramping up the audio.
Hurry
you know, we
me
just,
off stage.
Well, exactly. Whenever Tim goes on too much, we'll just start playing the outro music for the podcast is what we'll do.
Trying to see what we got. Oh, here we go.
Yeah, exactly. Start please wrap listen. It up. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Oh, I'm talking too long.
But it was pretty brutal, some of this. There was some point, it was really harsh. Like, I think was it the player's voice bit?
It's basically the player's choice, but they've called it the player's voice, which is so weird.
And like, it's so there was a really kind of quite, he was, the guy was half kind of through quite a moving, heartfelt speech about, you know, this is great. There's a game where you can truly be who you want to be, you know, but not forcing any kind of character, kind of what it means to be a person, you know, how you should be. You can be whoever you want to be in this game. And they're just like, yeah, that's nice and everything, but we're going to get the next trailer for Lego Fortnite on. So could you just, wrap it up. Right, cheers, mate. Bye. It felt really bad.
Due to us being like the award show was just after we did our last week's podcast. And due to that, we've had like this week where everyone else has already commented on it. You know, we're at the back of the queue as per normal with these things because we do our podcast on Thursdays. But no, just everyone's given Jeff Keighley and the award show in general a bit of a kicking because of this. And Jeff Keighley has come out and said, okay, look, we lessened this as the night went on already, but we've also taken the criticism on board and we're going to not be as harsh in future years. I think they've learned their lesson there, but at the same time, they are trying to make a commercially viable package. They did have the upfront joke where, and I always forget his name, but the actor that plays Kratos,
Christopher Judge,
who's a lovely man, by the way, but he came out and, you know, joked about his speech from last year, which did go on for 8 minutes, which was probably a bit too long. But it was a really nice speech. It was really impassioned and everything. He did joke about the fact that his speech from last year lasted longer than this year's Call of Duty campaign, which was quite a funny joke. I quite appreciate that. It was quite good. But also, like, they are making a commercially viable product, as in something that not only appeases to their corporate overlords, which a lot of people have made the point, but also it's got to be something that people want to watch and is packaged in a way that people enjoy. The Oscars, which is possibly one of the, you know, like, it's a different industry, but it's possibly the kind of most...
Something wrong with your mic, Tim.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. No, there was something wrong with your mic.
Yeah. I think Coleman muted me. I think that's what happened.
No. He's
gradually
mute
turning
you.
It down.
He didn't right, mute okay. you. Okay. He definitely wasn't muting. Muting is very sudden.
But yeah, like.
Oh, good. We're still going.
I don't know where it already said, but it's something where. I don't know where people heard and where haven't, but you're making something that's a product that's got to be, like, not just sellable, but also
true
something your audience actually wants to watch. And the Oscars have been in decline because they're possibly on the wrong side of this. And yeah, people do want to rock up and watch the trailers. I think they got criticism in previous years for going too long with the speeches and stuff as well.
Okay, all right. But the one counterpoint I would have, there were some awards that were just given, like, in a broom cupboard. No one really had. They didn't have any moment in the spotlight. Like, for, I think it was Sea of Stars, the indie game award. You know, they got, you know, that's a massive amount of hard graft they've put. They're not saying that other game companies and other individuals don't, but it was a real kind of passion project. And they didn't get an opportunity to really kind of have people shine a light on them and congratulate them as an indie studio. That just didn't happen.
But they've done the exact same in previous years as well.
But it still doesn't make it right. And like I think it was the Game Music Award. I think it was because that went to Final Fantasy 16. I want to say, you know, that guy wrote that music in a hospital bed while he was receiving chemotherapy. So he had a wonderful story to tell. That didn't get told at all because it was like, all right, you got your award. You got the email. Did you print the certificate out? Wicked.
I think we've actually got that music on hand on the board, actually.
Yeah, and then, leave it. But they were perfectly willing to show 15 Fortnite trailers and let his Hollywood mates blather on about nothing in particular.
I think it paid the bills. You know what I mean?
Because it's a commercial product. Like, the whole thing is a commercial product.
I wanted
to skip the awards as much as humanly possible.
Well, why call it the Game Awards show? Why call it the Game Awards?
So you watch it. Let's just watch the Game BAFTAs instead.
But not as many people watch the BAFTAs as watch this. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't. I watch trailers. That's why I want to talk about. I spent 2 hours putting this agenda together. We're going to skip most of it because we spent 4 hours talking about the flipping Game Awards.
But award ceremonies are inherently not that interesting for people outside of the industry they're in to watch.
Speak for yourself. A-level results presentations was thrilling when I got in 1998 from high school.
I would like to thank this year's musical interludes for thanking me for thankfully making me go to sleep at a time when it was much more appropriate than me staying up to watch all the trailers on the night. So thanks for that. That was good.
I would like to thank Largo Symphony Number 9 for being commercial free so we can keep using it on YouTube videos.
Mm. Always makes me want to eat a loaf of Hovis though.
So he must be able to put a flat cap on and ride around the cobbled streets on a bike delivering bread.
Game Awards. Right,
when
Ridley.
I were a lad, I remember first week's given
proper
to me by my granddad.
Proper game. Came on.
Original.
Came on cassette tape.
Can we talk about the trailers, please?
Loaded it in. Gave your epileptic fit as you wait for it
to
load.
I put so much
Rick
work
Ridley.
Into this. It's not going to get used.
I was very pleased that I was correct last week when I said that I didn't sound right, that the Sega thing was just like the virtual fighter stuff.
Not even worth mentioning. I cut it all out.
Five Sega games. It's great. Yep.
Cut the whole thing out of the show. Not even worth talking
okay.
about.
Okay. All
yep.
right.
Yeah. Of
it was
those,
old news by the time the show went out.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Of those, quite like Look of Shinobi. Jet Set Radio looks like more Jet Set Radio.
Oh, no, in order, I've got videos here.
Oh, for God's sakes.
I can't jump around.
You want us to go quickly, order. And then it's like, no, carry
quick,
on.
Quick, slow, slow.
Yeah.
Quick, slow.
Tell me quickly, but you've something. Got to read my mind.
Oh, my Get, God. Well, no, I put them in the order.
Top? All right, okay.
Okay.
All right. So.
Go.
Bob, Tim. All right, let's rewind, Tim. Before right. you talk about the Sega thing, what I would like to talk about first is the trailer for Monster Hunter Wilds.
There we go. Not said in at all patronizing way.
No, because this is
in all the work he's put in this week and has yet to put in.
Yeah. So I think the big surprise for Monster Hunter Wilds was that it was gonna. I think a lot of people expected it to land during 2024, but it's pushed out all the way to 2025. Which was surprising.
Yeah.
Many.
And also no Nintendo component this time. Like, this is straight for the big players. So it's going to be Xbox and PS5 and then and PC. But I mean, assumingly, if the next Nintendo thing is a more powerful entity, then maybe that's something it will come get announced for later. But yeah.
Mm. Maybe a console that's boys. Releasing sometime. Oh, I don't know. In early 2025.
Wouldn't it be funny if they announced the Switch 2, like, just as we finish recording? Just completely dropped it by surprise. We also had, finally, they revealed the worst-kept secret in video games at the moment, the Xbox exclusive from Hideo Kojima Productions, and that's OD, which
odd.
Was a very odd trailer, because we had people talking...
It wasn't
very,
a chuffing trailer.
Well, we had real actors
not a trailer.
Talking, very well-rendered faces, and then a woman screaming at the end because if you look in the reflection of her eye, a door opened, which I completely missed because I watched on my phone, and then someone told me that yesterday.
Oh.
But if you look in the reflection of her eye, I went, no, I watched it on my phone. It was like a millimeter in size.
Tiny big.
Yeah. I mean, they're very well-framed.
I mean, it does look impressive, have to say.
Yeah, it looks like the old Quantic Dream ones that they used to show off.
Yes.
Look at the rendering power of the PlayStation 3.
Think of that.
Whatever happened to L.A. Noire? It's like their face tech they had for that.
I mean, the guy that in the studio was a bit of a git and no one wanted to work for him again, I think was a problem.
Yeah, there's that. There
I think
that.
Their studio blamed Rockstar and Rockstar blamed them and some the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle.
Mm.
Anyway,
right.
Yeah, we don't know what it is yet, but OD, assume it's walking.
Yeah.
Or horror.
Yeah. People with
horror
faces.
Walking
horror.
What's next?
What was that other one he made? We had the
Death Stranding
the trailer. Not no,
PT.
No, no, the other horror PT. I was going to say
it never came out. Never a thing.
Yeah, but
playable
and
trailer.
This is a different Hollywood director because he's going with Jordan Peele now. And yeah, I don't know.
Oh yeah, forgot about that.
Might be of interest, but yeah,
Jordan Peele. He's made like two good films out of three.
Two out of three is not bad.
Yep.
He's
all right.
Three,
more
four.
Than 50%. It's a pass.
Oh, he was involved in a really bad revival of The Twilight Zone.
Was he? Oh, okay.
Anywho.
Yeah. Two seasons of it. No one knew.
Yep. Anywho. Next up was a little bit of a surprise, which I think all of us have downloaded. We've had to stop Tim from giving a blow-by-blow of the download experience for this. But it is free DLC for God of War. God of War Ragnarok, specifically. The Valhalla DLC. Because, hey, we all need more roguelikes in our life. So this is a combat-y, punch people in the face with different weapons and different modifiers, everyone. Looks really fun. Can't wait to give it a go.
Well, it's funny because we had Assassin's Creed Valhalla and God of War Ragnarok. And then for the expansion for Valhalla, we got Ragnarok. And for the expansion of Ragnarok, we got Valhalla.
Got Valhalla.
So, Ubisoft and Santa Monica just copying off each other's homework.
Does mean that God of War Ragnarok's probably gone to the top of my pile of shame because I want to get through that because apparently this is better as end game content as well. Like, it's something you should play after the end game.
I don't think you can play it until you've done the end game content. But
I think
also
it's
opening.
I think you actually can. They strut in their little 10-minute kind of teaser. Here's what to expect in Valhalla. They said you can, but don't.
Yeah. It's wave-based battles. It draws some inspiration from the older God of War games, and the entire thing got spoiled for me like 2 days after it came out. So that was nice. Thanks, YouTube thumbnails.
Apparently there's some story-based stuff in it as well. So
I won't spoil it for anyone, but yeah, that was fun to learn without playing it.
Oh. The next one was a nice surprise as well, though. Like, Marvel's
for
Blade.
Xbox players. Yeah.
That's quite
cool. That was interesting. Yeah, so if you don't know, there's the Insomniac Spider-Man games and the Wolverine game that's currently being worked on, and they're PlayStation exclusives, and Xbox has kind of sort of longingly looked over the fence going, I wish we had games like that. And Marvel went, yeah, sure, here you go. Here's a game all of your own. You get Blade, because that's not been in production hell in the movie industry for quite some time.
No, not at all.
But you can have a video game that will definitely come out. But yeah, this one's Bethesda, right? And
Arcane.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's published by Bethesda, developed by
Bethesda. That's right.
Dishonored. And with vampires.
Before Tim says it, I'm hoping this is like the super violent Marvel game because we don't have the Punisher, who is my favorite Marvel character, and I'm the biggest Punisher fan in the whole of BigRedBarrel.com.
Fair enough.
I didn't necessarily think of saying that, but yeah, okay.
I'm Tim, basically.
Wow.
Right. Tim finally got his wish.
Yay!
He did.
Jet Set Radio.
He's coming.
Other things. Mm.
And Crazy Taxi. And Streets of Rage.
Yeah, Sega basically went, hey, don't we have some IPs that we don't use? Oh, here you go. Let's do something.
I was very surprised.
I just found these
down the
at the same time.
I was very surprised not to see any Virtua Fighter in there, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that might be a separate announcement coming. But there was a lot of rumors that we were going to see some Virtua Fighter, and it ended up being this instead. But apparently that Virtua Fighter rumor was not a Game Awards thing. People just kind of put two and two together because a bunch of influencers got teases for the trailer of Unleash the Power or something like that. But yeah, interesting stuff, because there was, if you remember a little while ago, there was a Sega anniversary going on and they released a bunch of demos to Steam, and it turned out those demos were actually tech demos for different games they were going to make that didn't get made. And then there was some controversy about it because maybe the people that worked on those didn't get paid properly and they just released them out to the public anyway. But they made like a Streets of Rage version of Yakuza and a Golden Axe Rebirth, and I don't think it was a Jet Set Radio in there. There might have been a Crazy Taxi thing in there, but it's good to see that they've gone, oh yeah, here's a bunch of stuff that we're actually really famous for and haven't done anything with in so long that we should actually do something now.
Does say and more at the bottom of that trailer. If there was another Sega game that they'd want to add to that list, what would you pick?
Daytona! Just for the title music, if nothing else. I didn't actually realize how
yesterday.
Much
I was singing that the entire time.
Nice.
The track.
I didn't actually realize at the beginning of that how it could be Jack Black doing that by the sounds of it. If you listen to it, it sounds very Jack Black. Anyway,
that's a very remixed version.
Yes. I think out of all of them, though, Shinobi is the one I'm looking forward to the most. I just love the art style they've taken with it. And the others look like kind of a nice, well, with the possible exception of Golden Axe, which is now kind of more 3D-y, I suppose.
That was
but
a
certainly
surprise.
Crazy Taxi in 3D, Crazy Taxi and Jet Set Radio look like just shinier versions of those two games. Be interested to see.
Just to kind
I'm
of
happy with that,
cast
though.
A little bit. Just to kind of cast a little bit of shade at Sega for this.
No.
Smacks with. You remember when do you remember when EA got rid of Visceral and then they went off and formed a new studio and went, we're going to make our spiritual successor to Dead Space. And then EA went, well, we're just going to make Dead Space again. Yeah. And then Sega's gone, the team behind so the original creators behind Jet Set Radio going off to make their own spiritual successor to Jet Set Radio and saying, well, we'll just make Jet Set Radio then, won't we?
Bomb Rush
in that exact voice.
Big blue hedgehog throwing shade.
Also, to answer my own question that I didn't get to, but Power Stone would be the one that I'd like to add to the list as well, but I'd like a new Power Stone. I think that'd be good.
Altered Beast, a game that
Beast is apparently one of the ones that is in the works.
Yeah,
that's more, isn't it?
They've registered the trademark for Altered Beast. That's one of the things that's clued people into that being the case, basically.
It's probably Japan, because every video game show that I go to, people are always selling those black t-shirts with the front covers of Sega games on there, and I see Altered Beast ones all the time. So they're probably just knocked off with people nicking that.
Wow. That was not a good game. If I were to guess. Just if anyone wasn't aware, that was not a good game.
Yeah, that's the weird thing, because everyone remembers it for the arcade port or the Mega Drive version. I remember it for the Master System version, which looks...
That's an even worse game.
That was hot garbage right there.
And then, because I liked it so much and I didn't have a Master System, my parents got me the Amiga version, which played horribly.
Oh, that's even worse. That's almost... actually, the even worse than that, though, and I know it's not a Sega game, but if we're talking terrible Amiga ports, Street Fighter 2. On the Amiga.
Street Fighter 2 is one of the worst ports of all time. But awful. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. On the Amiga. Most things from US Gold were.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yep.
That's fair.
Yep.
All right.
Right.
What's next?
Let's keep it tracking. Light No Fire.
This was a nice surprise. 10 years after No Man's Sky and the big announcement of that, apparently, they still haven't learned their lessons in overpromising because they're like, we're going to give you the whole of Earth.
Yep.
They just did a universe.
Yeah,
it's easier. Know, smaller scale. They're scaling it back, mate. It's fine.
This is a whole proper open world Earth. Kind of a more fantasy-based setting, which I think is quite interesting. I'm more of
a sci-fi fan of
fantasy in general.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Okay.
Does it remind you of Valhalla at all? It's beautiful, but like the graphics kind of look pared down to what a modern video game is, but in a kind of charming way. And then you've got the big earth that you're going to be building stuff in and stuff. Yeah, very Valhalla looking to me. Whereas Valhalla's got that kind of old school World of Warcraft look to it.
Although I'd imagine all of Hello Games' investors took in a very sharp intake of breath when Sean said on stage, yeah, we want to do something a bit more ambitious. It's like, oh, God, don't say that. Don't say that. Why have you done? No.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in fairness, it's like, well, we want to do something that looks a bit pared down compared to the original trailer we showed off for No Man's Sky.
Yeah, true. So let's take a quick sweepstake. When's this coming out?
2026.
I'm going 2028.
Or five.
I'm going 2028. That's what I'm going for.
I think 2025, maybe even 2024. I think, like, this is
surprise drop as we finish recording.
Yeah, I think this isn't the, like, I don't know. I'll be interested to see how much of this, like, is just built on the technology that they've developed with building out No Man's Sky, and then they've just swapped in the artwork and then taken out all the kind of space travel.
It's an asset flip is what it is.
Yeah, but it does look like you are just flying dragons rather than flying a spaceship.
It's the day before.
You know what I mean? Like,
easy tiger.
I mean, there is co-op in No Man's Sky, but it does look a bit more co-op focused, or at least they're framing it in that way and sort of pushing that forward. For me and a lot of other people that commented on this week, I think one of the more interesting things is the fact that this will hopefully have VR support in the same way that No Man's Sky does. Whether it does at launch or not will be something left to be seen, but we'll see. But
it
yeah,
will
I'm
be
definitely
available on
anyway.
PlayStation VR 3, which will
be and PS6 is what it's coming out for. PS6.
The new VR headsets will retail for £1,000, Tim.
But the good news is, because of inflation, it's about the same for a loaf of bread, so it's fine.
Mm-hmm. So, it's all good. Okay.
Right, let's talk about the solo split from Boyzone Simulator, Rise of the Ronan Keating.
Nice.
I think you got the wrong spelling of
Ronan. No, it was exactly right. Just the video's wrong that you're seeing. It's got, you know, some... You know, there's feudal Japan videos going on. Actually, he's gone solo after Boyzone. This is the story he's always wanted to tell.
This is the story from Team Ninja. It's the story of making that one single from Notting Hill.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but Rise of the Ronin. You look like a pop star. You sound like a pop star.
That's Louis Walsh.
No, he was their manager, wasn't he? Louis Walsh.
Oh, was he? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah. So anyone doesn't know, Rise of the Ronin is something that we've already kind of seen and heard a bit about. I think it was announced at a Sony presentation, I want to say, which seems a bit odd with them pairing up with that when they've already got Ghost of Tsushima, which is thematically similar at least. But Team Ninja make a good, or usually make a good kind of melee-based combat game, and this looks like no exception to that. It's going to be one of my most anticipated games for next year, so maybe we'll save a bit of discussion for that when that comes up. But
okay, fair enough.
Team Ninja and this kind of setting seems like a match made in heaven. It did actually go up for pre-order today. It's the full price of, you know, $59.99, or is it? Yeah, no, maybe it was more even. But yeah, I think it was 70
$69.99
is available for pre-order as of today.
Tim went back in time for a second.
Yeah, at some point I will be pre-ordering this game. It's one of my most anticipated, as I said. But yeah, I really like the look of it. So seeing more of that was good.
Yeah, the point of the trailer was to say the release date, which is the 24th of March. And
22nd, apparently, I believe, from, but yeah.
Oh, sorry, 22nd of March, 2024. And the apparently, because some of the preview stuff went out today, and a lot of people are comparing it to Neo.
Oh, yeah. It's a game that I thought I would like but never actually played. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it anyway.
I'll just quickly say, because this was, they put this down as the reveal, but it wasn't the reveal because they showed this off at one of those fighting tournaments earlier in the year. This was like the proper reveal. But Dragon Ball Sparking Zero, which we've only seen a Japanese trailer for so far, that is still not got a date, but that's coming to PC, PS5, Xbox Series X and S. But it is Return to the Budokai series, but they've called it Sparking Zero instead. And it looks very pretty.
It does.
Looking forward to a new one of those, because I have played the hell out of the Fighters. Yeah, it's actually called Fighters. The next one was No Rest for the Wicked from Moon Studios.
Yeah, I mean, the gameplay looks interesting, but I think I was more attracted by the art style than anything else to this. It looks very attractive. It's out early next year sometime. But it looked like a kind of hack and slash kind of combat based types thing, but yeah, as I said, I think it's more the art style that appealed to me than anything else. But it's definitely one that I hadn't heard of before. I don't think it was announced before this, but it's now on my radar and I'm interested in it, and we'll keep an eye out for it.
This is developed by the same folk who did Ori and the Blind Forest, and obviously
and seems like a big departure from their previous stuff, but looks high quality.
Looks pretty awesome,
basically. Yeah,
I mean, it was interesting to me because I thought that Xbox had them tied down, but they're not. It's a multi-platform game. It's coming to PC, PS5,
they knew the safe word.
The Xboxes. Yeah.
They're no longer tied down. They uttered the safe word, which is Battletoads.
The next one, which we've picked out, well, I've picked out, I am super excited for this. So to put this in context, like 2 years ago, they brought out Jurassic World Evolution 2. And everyone was banging on about it, and I'm not a big fan of park simulators and city builders and things, and I just wanted a proper Jurassic Park game, a story-based game that I can really get my teeth into, and they've actually done it, and they showed off this great pre-rendered trailer that shows off Isla Nublar, and there's a character there who looks like one of the scientists that was working behind the scenes, who has been left on the island. Everyone else has gone without her, and she's trying to run away from a Dilophosaur that's stalking her, which is great.
And Dilophosaurus.
Yes, and there's a little tease at the end of one of the raptors that's still in the cold chamber in or you could just call it a freezer, but it says cold storage or cold chamber, in the kitchen from the kitchen scene with the velociraptors. But yeah, that's all great. And then they show a little bit of footage at the end. We know it's first person. We know there's T-Rexes stalking you. We know that there's velociraptors and Dilophosaurs and things that you see in the pre-render. It looks great, and I can't wait for this.
I want it to be a bit like Left 4 Dead so I can play as a dinosaur and try and maim things with tiny T-Rex arms.
No, I want big story game. I don't want Left 4 Dead. I want excellent T-Rex game.
Do you think it's odd that they went with the, this is a scientist that no one bothered to think about or mention that was just there all along kind of thing, rather than
remaking
the actual movie kind of thing?
No,
I don't know.
You don't want to remake the movie because a lot of it's not going to apply because film to video game. And plus, we've got video games based off the original movie.
Yeah, I guess.
But also, you need a reason to go back to Isla Nublar because they've got an agenda in mind here. Hence why they've not called it Jurassic World. They've called it Jurassic Park. And they can't go, oh, we've come back because we need to retrieve the shaving cream thing because we did that for a Telltale game that no one played because it wasn't very good.
I thought they did that for one of the movies, but okay.
Yeah. The interesting thing is Jurassic Park Survival, I believe this was meant to be a PS2 game, which got cancelled. Then they tried to make a game for, I think it was the PS4 generation, which was called Jurassic World Survival, which also got cancelled. So now we're doing Saber Interactive making Jurassic Park Survival, reusing the first title again. And I don't know when it's coming out, but I'm very excited. PS4,
presumably
going to
be a kind of
PC
horror-based game. We didn't see any gameplay, but I assume it's going to be.
We did. We saw a little bit of gameplay at the end. It's first person. You're avoiding dinos, and you're running around and stuff. They show like a big T-Rex coming into a gate as you shut the gate and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'm very excited. Did we have any left in the... Oh, there was a VR game that Tim wanted to talk about.
No, he's not talking about it.
Playing me off. Just that Asgard
Trials
2 is one they talked about there.
No!
I won't talk about it too much because Kevin and I will discuss it a bit more. But it came out today. IGN gave it a 10 out of 10. It's the first VR game I remember them giving a 10 out of 10. So
what
it's definitely
game?
Of interest. It looks like a great game. Asgard Trials 2.
My eyes, the goggles do nothing.
All right, that's the Game Awards. That is all the things we did. Well, we did. We watched. That's all the trailers we picked out. There were a lot of trailers. But in hindsight, I probably put too much work into this episode before it even happened.
Yes, indeed. which has probably meant that the big bit of news, the really honking great bit of news that isn't the
There's
Video Game Awards, is you know, there is a lot of big news. I think it's probably been done to death by many other people, but, you know, frankly, we need to stick a boot in.
Yeah.
The day before came out, and then the studio closed the day after.
The game got played.
It's not what they described it. Sorry. Well, yeah. But it's funnier when you
say that. Oh, well, that's okay then. That's fine after they took people's money and ran with it. It's fine.
So the big news is the game finally came out and it was not as described. It was not as it looked. It was basically like a poor man's
version
of the Division. It wasn't an open world MMO. It was very much like Division. You go into open areas and then you go back to base and you unlock things. It was very janky. It didn't play very well. And a lot of people were annoyed because they went over there, allotted 2 hours and could not get a refund on the game. And
that was silly.
Fantastic actually did the CD Projekt thing where they went, yeah, Steam will just give you a refund. And Steam went, no, we won't. And then they went, please. And they've gone, okay, sorry. Yeah, I guess we're just going to give refunds because this is horrible. But they basically came out, Fantastic came out and said, hey, we didn't do a Kickstarter for this. We didn't take like pre-orders for this. Like we just launched it in early access. People didn't like it.
You didn't get your money back.
Sorry, this wasn't a big scam, although this looks like we tried a big scam and didn't get away with it.
It does. I mean, I think it was. There's something doesn't feel quite right. I mean, I think that if it were a scam, the way that it has played out meant that hopefully players weren't the target or indeed the victims of the scam. I think there's probably investors elsewhere on the financial chain who probably may have stood to lose more in this. I'm trying to say things in a way that isn't going to get us sued. Not that I'm sure I've got any. They've got any money to afford.
I think they would have to. There is literally video saying this game is a scam. So I think they'll have to dig for content of more popular people before they get to us.
Yeah.
We warned people about 6 months ago that this was going to be a scam and don't go anywhere near it. So,
it was just awful. I mean, it's just terrible. And, you know, someone actually on the Reddit thread did actually worked out pretty much all of the assets they bought off the Epic Games Store, including the inventory system, which was pre-rolled. It's like, yeah, basically they did the bare minimum to get this off the ground. And ain't right. So there we go.
The Steam reviews have changed now because initially a lot of them are now thumbs up because they've got their refunds after so many hours to sort of go, thanks, Steam. You can't buy it now, by the way. It's completely delisted. Yeah. But the page is still up there. The interesting thing with when the game came out, there were only two positive reviews. One was saying, I got this refunded the day after. And the other one said, I will eat a spoonful of mayonnaise for every like I get on this review. And the last time I checked, they had like 6,000 ups.
A lot of mayonnaise.
That's a lot of mayonese.
That's a lot of mayonnaise.
Didn't say how quickly, but still.
That is a lot of mayonnaise.
Also, speaking of IGN scores, IGN gave this a 1 out of 10. And I don't know about you guys, I don't remember the last time I saw a 1 out of 10 from IGN. Also, I think the lesson here is don't trust a developer that can't spell their own studio name. I think that's a good life lesson to learn.
That's because they named themselves Fantastic and then there was another studio called Fantastic. So they took a letter out and went, that should be it. And then they had a problem where I think there was another studio called Fantastic spelled the same way.
Yep.
So
yeah. I mean, just
no
give
end of problems there.
So the things just to be aware of, they have now changed their name to 8 Points. The Twitter account of their CEO and all of their YouTube uploads have been deleted as well. So they're keeping it classy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In the very quick remove, because this is kind of big news this weekend, updates and things. Insomniac got hacked. It was rumored and then confirmed by Sony. If you look around on Reddit.
At least they're not losing any sleep over it.
We need dad joke music, but anyway.
A lot of the posts that got shown off on Reddit have since been deleted, so we're going to be careful about what we say, but it looks like hints to Spider-Man 3 and also the possibility of a Spider-Verse game, although there's been some negativity thrown to that might not actually be a thing. But yes, Insomniac got leaked and it hacked.
Canonically, it would work, though.
Yeah.
Because you could all be your different Spider-Man or Spider-Person.
Thing I want to say, but I can't say because games, movies, spoilers, things. So, shut up. Other thing, an update from last week, it sounded like there was a big possibility that Free Radical, the studio that was created to do the reboot of Time Splitters, was going to get downsized, and it actually got shut down this week. So that's gone. No word on what's going to happen to the Time Splitters update. Sorry, the new version of Time Splitters, anyway.
But always... sad to hear. Everyone who has been affected is doing as okay as they can.
Embracer turning themselves into the biggest video game villain of 2023, but hey.
And all because they couldn't do some business with the Saudi guys, the Saudi government. Who would have thought it? Nothing worth losing your head over, though.
Or your hands.
Oh, sorry. No, they didn't. They didn't have a journalist beheaded. Sorry, I made that up.
Wow,
fantasy, innit?
Wow.
Dan.
Wow. What?
Speaking of beheading, should people buy your face?
Yeah, they should. You don't even need to behead me to have my face on your face. If all you're up to my face, it'd be more like flaying my skull. To be fair, rather than actually beheading me, so that is totally not the same as a Middle Eastern government legendary did to someone else. So there we go. My face, buy it. tpodwood.com/store/brb,
or buy a better t-shirt like this one designed by Blazy.
Yay!
Oh, I heard the Saudi government actually made the day before.
Don't mention the Saudi government. I don't know how many mentions we need to get struck off of YouTube, but it's not many, I don't think. Probably less than we've had already. Or beheaded by... Wow. Yeah.
Next show that comes out is just our heads on pikes. Being worked like little puppets.
Yeah. Here's an example of why you don't mess with us.
It's like the ending of that one season of The Walking Dead. Anyway. Buy t-shirts and other things over at teepublic.com/stores/BRB. Tim, how quick can you do Tabletop Tuesday?
Pretty quick. This week and every week we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday at the Loading Bar in Stoke Newington. This will be the last one of the year. I unfortunately didn't make it to last week because I was too busy at work, hence the reason I didn't come to the podcast last week.
Oh, that was the week I was at.
Oh, wow. I missed you.
I wondered where you were.
Anyone doesn't know, what we usually do is we have a different feature game every Tuesday. If you play that feature game that evening, you have a chance of winning a copy of the game at the end of the week. This week is a real doozy, a game called 20 Second Showdown by the lovely people at Big Potato. It is a really fun party game. It looks like a real good one. So come along, try that out in the evening, and you can win a copy just by playing it that very evening. There are more details, or there will be more details, on the top left-hand corner of bigredbarrel.com. Or you can join the over 2,000 nearly 2,100 members of our meetup group. Search for Tabletop Tuesday on meetup.com.
Tabletop Tuesday over at Loading Bar in Stoke Newington on the 19th of December. Go there because it's 21 seconds to show down. Oh no, it's 20, isn't it? Sorry. That's ruined that.
Yep.
Screw you, So Solid Crew, for not writing the right song.
Wow. Anywho, really, really specific and unusual beef to have, but good for you, Coleman.
If you've enjoyed this very odd episode of BRB UK,
I haven't.
Episode. Hold on, just
you're going to enjoy editing it, Mr. Coleman. But hey,
we're gonna cheer Dan up just now. Transformers. Okay. There's our copyright strike from Lion.
A couple of weeks.
If you've enjoyed this episode of BRB UK, then make sure to give us a review over on the podcasting platform of your choice. We do like a 5-star, if possible. That would be great. Also, we can be found on different social media platforms. We are available on Facebook, X, and Threads at Big Red Barrel. We are available on YouTube, Big Red Barrel TV. Yeah, say hello if you're watching us on any of the platforms of your choice. Also, we have a Discord. It is available on our website, bigredbarrel.com. But also, there is a link here in the video right now. It's going to be in the show notes. Links to everything in the show notes. That's what
Discord.com/invite Muntuhafwa. That's right.
You can get involved with
Muntuhafwa.
Muntuhafwa. You can get involved with the show. You can ask us questions. There's some very quick ones here because Ed. Right. He says.
All right. Okay.
Will the best and worst games of the years be the ones that Tim has actually played this time? Find out.
No.
In the best of the year. What are we going to do worse? I don't know what to do about that. Let's talk about that off mic.
Okay.
End of year shows, they're going to happen because, as I mentioned at the start of the show, this is the last proper episode of the year. We're going to do some filler episodes while we are gone. I think one is going to be makeup tutorials.
Nice.
We're going to do one on what is the correct religion. That's going to be fun.
Wow, that's fun. I'm looking forward to all of the upvotes for that. That's going to be great.
We're discussing Israel and Palestine on an episode. Yeah. That's going to be fun. Well, no, the Christmas episode is Israel and Palestine. And the last one is the Saudi government. Dude, what should we do about
them? Is there any other things you want to mention that's going to get us more downgraded on YouTube this week?
I just thought you were going to do a pithy joke when it comes to fillers. It was going to be about going off to Turkey
you
for
to
cheap
do that
plastic surgery.
You really will. No, let's not.
Oh, yeah,
no,
sorry. In the filler episode, Tim's going to get his forehead wrinkles done. Dan's going to
get
his trophy.
He's going to get a Brazilian butt lift.
I'm going to get my lips filled out. That's going
to
be
fun. You? Lovely. Yeah. Lovely. I thought you were going to have hair transplant. You're going to start from your eyebrows, just get your money's worth, and just work all the way back.
I mean, no joke. I did see a filler episode doing the rounds of a video podcast where a woman got a BB. Is it BBL? Brazilian butt lift?
Brazilian butt lift.
It's the funniest thing. She went and got one done, and then she comes out, she's just crying. She's like, why did I do this? This is horrible.
Why does anyone
and they're like,
do that?
And they're going, anyway, don't sit on your butt. And she's like, I can't. I need to sit on my butt. It hurts.
Wow. Jesus.
So look out for that.
All right.
I have no idea what that was called, but it was very funny.
Links in the show notes.
I asked for other questions.
Next week's episode for Coleman's Brazilian butt lift.
Nice.
I feel bad because I asked for questions and we just don't have the time to ask answer a bunch of questions. So we'll probably...
Maybe we should do that for one of the filler episodes, Coleman.
Yeah,
let's
that's
get some more
idea.
Questions and we'll make a whole
no,
episode.
No, because they're all from Ed.
That's why we want other people to give us questions so that we can do that. And let's put the call out on the show rather than just a couple of hours before on the Discord.
We won't have enough time to source them, I guarantee you.
Okay.
Oh, God, you've now got me Googling bad Brazilian butt lift videos.
I'll send you the video when I find it.
That is not something to Google. That's a bad Google.
You don't see the procedure. You just see her going off to get the thing done, and then you see her coming out, and it's just like her whole family be like, oh, because she's just like a small child crying.
She's now 98% arse. Two massive buttocks with two little tiny legs at the bottom.
Anyway,
like a T-Rex, but 100% arse. What?
Or men. No. just don't do them.
Yes. No. Okay.
Don't
all right.
do the lip thing either. That's terrifying.
Yeah, they're all look, they're all a terribly bad idea.
Just be beautiful, be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Don't have surgery unless you really need it. Surgery, mm-hmm. not, you know, trust me, don't want to do it unless you really need it.
I mean, I didn't need my eye surgery, but I had that done.
I know, but to be fair.
Twice,
because you know,
once got botched.
Wow.
See, that
that's like the woman coming out of the BBL going,
Why is my why have they replaced my eyeball with an ass?
I'm no longer cross-eyed, but one's looking that way. I got blue eyes, one blue over there and one blue over there.
Oh my God. Anyway, we're going to go. thank you for listening, I think. But my commiserations.
Thank you for putting up with us for
a
whole lot.
Sorry for listening.
There's going to be all kinds of festive podcasts coming your way over the next couple of weeks.
Dan.
Once we get recording them, I'm not going to, unless you say please, Tim, I'm not going to do it.
No.
Oh, I'm just going to continue blathering on then, if you're not going to be nice about it. The whole thing
it's
that made the Jeff
Keighley
slide.
It's time you're wasting.
I know.
It's got a good point.
I know. And I'm okay with that.
I mean, I'm trying to make as little cuts as possible in the shows these days, so it's actually the listeners' time we're wasting.
Right. Thank you.
I mean, we do that every week, so.
Yeah. So thank you so much for listening to us. We're going to get out of here. We've gone on for far too long. And all that really remains is for us to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
For the last time this year, because I found out there's a YouTuber also going by this name and he's way more popular, so I should probably stop using it. I have been Chaos.
Aw. How's he spell it?
Same.
With a K.
It's just called no. He's called I'm Chaos. I'm like, well, I can't use that anymore, can I?
Well, no, to be fair, he's contracting it. He's using the contraction I'm Chaos, not I am Chaos. You're just a more well-educated version of him. You know, you're the upmarket
Chaos
version
Coleman.
Of I'm Chaos. I am Chaos.
With your own name.
Considering the entire thing was a joke on Ed because he works for Square Enix and he was getting wound up with people doing the Chaos jokes when they announced Stranger of Paradise, I should probably put this to bed because Stranger of Paradise has been out for a little while
maybe
now.
Kill it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Anyway. We're really going to go now. Thank you.
That's some news to end the year on killing Chaos. Coleman is killing Chaos.
Oh, yeah. Just like...
What's it going to be next year? You know, the most chaotic list. Thing would be to come back as Chaos, though. Just going to say.
That is pretty chaotic.
Anyway. We're going to go now. Thank you so much for downloading us. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
Ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.